On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Can't listen to this song without thinking about the video of them on the boat where they crash. Have y'all ever seen that? It was like went viral a few years back. That's like my favorite video ever on YouTube. And they just like hit a wave and they're going like 90.
Oh, that's the one where like the guy's head hits the steering wheel. And there the girl,
gets knocked out on the windshield.
Oh, like the one where like they're swaying back and forth and they fall off.
Yeah, every time I hear that song, I'm like, that's the video I think of in my head.
That's called boating. That's like, that was idiot boating. I mean, that was, they were driving so reckless in that video. Yeah, I mean, what were they doing? What were they thinking?
They were in a hurry, man. They were in a hurry.
How drunk do you think they were?
I don't know. Saying that.
You don't think somebody got DUI of that?
Somebody just thought they were, you know, had to be Dale Earnhardt on water.
Yeah, normally that comes with booze.
We're going to get to Matthew Judon in just 1 second. I do have to look. I'm not terrified of snakes, but yesterday, it's been a couple of weeks since I've actually gone out and run. We've talked about it before. I'm not built for running, but I like to do it. And so I went out there and ran near the Hooch yesterday. Mm-hmm. And of course, coming off a weekend full of rainstorms, you just have to know what's coming. Mm-hmm. And I am running probably 2 or 3 feet off the edge of this path. If you guys, you know, run paths along the Hooch, you know what they look like. They're about, I don't know, 15 foot wide, and they're like gravelly, crushed gravel, whatever it is. And dude, a snake. My dog still doesn't know the snake was there.
A good sized snake.
A good sized copperhead.
Looked like it just ate something based on this belly.
And it was in no hurry and didn't like make a move towards us. But my dog literally went right over the top of this thing's head. And the snake never moved. But when I tell you, like my wife's like, hey, how'd you feel running? I'm like, I have no idea what my time was because I literally had to go change my underwear. Like I was like, dude, that scared. And I kept running. And then I was like, you know what? There's kids out here. There's people with dogs. Like I just saw a copperhead. I'm not going to leave it alone. So I turned back around. I grabbed a branch. An older couple walked up and they're like, oh, yeah, it's a copperhead. Moved it off to the side of the path.
How did it react when you moved it?
It was not happy.
Sorry.
You know, it's the backward S thing where it's like getting away from you. It was mad. But we got it off to the side. Also had some lady, it just grinds my gear. I had some lady that I was like, hey, watch out. It's copperhead right there. And she just scoffed at the fact that I was warning her. There's nothing I've never seen before.
I'm an independent woman.
I was like, yeah, okay. Well, you know what? I'll just let you get struck next time in the leg and have to airlift you out of here.
Why are people so rude?
I don't know.
Can we talk about the reactions on our group chat? The NASCAR group chat? All right. So, Allie, the iRacing group chat, he sends this picture, and I said, blank out of here. I want no part of that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Mike's like, you know, I obviously got to go home and change the drawers. And so one of our buddies goes, you got to take a machete to that thing or a shovel. And I go,
this was so good.
And I was like, well, I would have jumped so high, then I would have turned into Forrest Gump, you know, just started running. And then our other buddy goes, nah, man, you got to take a 12 gauge. And I just text him back and I go, yeah, guys, I don't think he had a 12 gauge or a machete on him while he was running.
He's running. I had to drive to this path to be able to run. Just keep that in mind as you guys are all giving me advice on what I should have done next with this copper. A twig is going to have to do.
Yeah. And then twig. The next response was the most redneck one yet. Scouts always prepared.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
That's the response from the guy that said, have a machete. I'm like, yeah, man. You can just see Mike running with a machete like it's a sword and he's on Game of Thrones or something. Like, I mean, what do we...
Anyways.
But that is the 100% like,
dude,
country male response. Like, I'd have shot it. Really? With what?
I just like I said, I started running off and I kept running. I go, dude, I can't leave it in the middle of the path. And it was like, and it was 3 feet into crossing a 15-foot path. So it was going to be out there for a little bit.
I'm going to give you credit, which I don't ever do. I would have never went back.
This is just like the Tinker conversation. Mark this down.
I'd have kept going. Give you credit for going back and doing the Good Samaritan thing. I'd have been like, they can blank with that snake on their own. Better have their eyes open.
I was like, dude, there's too many kids out here on their bikes, like just run around. I was like, I can't just leave it. I would feel sick if I heard something happen later. So,
of course, if I had sprinkles with me, I might have been like, no, I got to go back.
Well, that's my question. Where did you put your dog? Because obviously,
I held it like I got a long stick and I couldn't really get to the snake. And the older couple walked up, and the man was like, he took it. He was like, you got it. So I was holding Charlie back.
Gotcha,
I had him around the collar, but he was. I mean, he's still unaware that there was anything. My dog is so aloof. He was like, dude, he's like looking at the other dogs walking up.
I'm outside.
Yeah, he's like, I don't even know there's a snake right there. I could have gotten popped right there in the paw. But anyways, shout out to that snake for not ruining my day yesterday. You can check that out at MPJohnson79, though, because I tweeted out a picture yesterday. It's a good size one. It's not huge. It was fine. It was all right. Speaking of not huge, let's talk about Matthew Judon's sack numbers from last year. And
lack thereof.
Yeah, exactly. Matthew Judon visited with cardplayer.com over the weekend. He was at a celebrity softball game hosted by Mac Wilson. And you're going to want to open your ears for this one. If you didn't hear us talking about it earlier, Matthew Judon kind of did not like the way things went here. He was just straight up asked, okay, was it bad luck last year? When you talk about your statistical regression, here's what Matthew Judon had to say. Hell no. If you go look at the film, I dropped into coverage on 60% of the plays. It's hard to get a pick and a sack on the same play. Now, Bo, you and I covered this earlier. I'm going to dive back into it real quick. We watch film and take pride in doing so. You and I want to be informed speakers when it comes to the Atlanta Falcons, specifically on things like, you know, pass rush and things that are talking points on the show more often than not. Matthew Judon's effort last year was lackadaisical at best for a guy in a contract year that we just traded a third-round pick for, that we were all so excited over the moon for. And to hear him throw that back on Raheem Morris, Jimmy Lake to a lesser extent, but the people here for the Atlanta Falcons and try to act like the reason was that he was dropping into coverage is ridiculous. And you know what? The other teams in the NFL also see the same film we have access to, and there's a reason why at the celebrity softball game it says not signed, free agent, because they're watching the same film we are.
If what he did last year 60% of the time was dropping into pass coverage, then he must have been covering their ghost player.
Yeah.
Remember like when you were playing and you didn't have enough players, you have like a ghost runner or whatever on first, and you're playing like, you know, kickball or whatever. Well, then like he was covering their ghost player.
Couldn't field a full nine.
Yeah, yeah. He was covering their ghost player because I didn't see anyone out there unless he was covering that ineligible tackle out there. This is exactly like Kirk Cousins saying, well, I was hurt. Yeah, I got hurt in the New Orleans game, and it hurt me the rest of the year. That's why I just started throwing the ball to the wrong players. You know, as in the wrong team. This is a save my ass type of statement.
Yeah,
this
is
a no, I'm still good because no. And I give him credit. Jimmy Lake's defense was not one I liked, and yeah. I didn't like the way they played.
Especially for pass rushers.
Had he had said the way our coverage was so far off the ball, I was just trying to affect the play any way possible by stopping and jumping up to bat balls down, I'd have been like, you can. I give you something there, but to say he was in coverage is he must think we're all dumb.
He says 60% of his snaps were in coverage. Allie had the raw math from Pro Football Focus earlier.
Yeah. Just
on my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Just to give you those stats again, I mean, he played for 655 snaps last year. He rushed the passer on 328 of those, which is about 50%. And then he played 240 snaps in run defense, which makes up another 36%. That leaves 87 snaps, or about 13%, where he didn't either rush the passer or defend the run.
Yeah, which means dropping into coverage or, you know, just straight up standing there and jumping up trying to. That was my initial reaction. I was like, okay, he's talking about times where he knew they were going to try to get the ball out early and he was going to jump up and try to bat the ball down. Because actually in coverage and dropping into the flat, which he wasn't very good at, let's just throw that out there as well, it's just frustrating to hear this, man. Like, I feel like I'm already sick enough about the Matthew Judon situation when we're going through the draft realizing we don't have a third-round pick and you know that that's what you got for it, what you see on film, without having to hear him regurgitate this kind of self-soothing, you know, whatever you want to call it, this past weekend saying, no, man, not my fault. They just didn't use me right.
But there's a lot of – but you see, the problem is there's a lot of people that are going to say, oh, yeah, see, I knew Jimmy Lake sucked. That's why they fired him. Or, oh, I knew that Kirk Cousins was hurt. That's why, you know. But, like, because that's a narrative that they've always – that's been pushed or that they've wanted to believe.
Yeah.
And that's the problem for me is when you say this, it just leads down this more road of, you know, it's just – they're just false narratives.
Well, and since he is a free agent at this point, do you think other teams will see through that narrative?
I think they already have.
Yeah.
I think they already have. Because, and Al, you weren't here for this, but what was happening last year is he was having like a holdout dispute where to the point where he was like sitting on a trash can at Patriots practice, and they weren't happy with him. They didn't want to give him a new contract. And so they traded him down here for a third-round pick. Some people would even make the claim that they fleeced us and sent him down here because we were like, oh, yeah, he's a proven sack guy. Yeah. He didn't give us much. And I'll go a step further, and maybe you can link this up with me. I think he started dropping into pass coverage more times at the end of the season because they knew he wasn't going to get home.
Yeah.
They're like, dude, we might as well drop the guy into coverage. He ain't getting home.
Well, they sent Caden Ellis a lot more when Raheem took over. They sent other guys more. To your question, though, no, I don't think anybody's going to believe this nonsense that knows what they're looking at. But what I do think is someone early September, late August is going to have an injury like we did.
Yeah.
And say, I'll take a – because and now it's even easier because, look, I don't have to trade something for him. You know what's even easier than all of that is saying week two, Wednesday of week two, guess what? Now I can sign you for – I'll give you $6 million. Because when you don't come in here and play, I'll cut your ass because I don't got to pay you. You're not guaranteed any of that money after week one if you're a veteran.
He's played for the Ravens, he's played for the Patriots, and he's played for the Falcons. So we'll keep our eyes peeled to see if any of those teams bring him back in the fold.
No, he'll play for a new team next
exactly.
year.
Exactly. That's kind of my point. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about the Atlanta Braves and getting back to 500, which, you know, a sigh of relief according to Snit. It's not big. It's not small. It is what it is. We also got a life of squid. You got a bone to pick with somebody.
Major League Baseball is a side. Excuse me. Rob Manfred has decided to make a statement that even in his own statement apparently didn't need to be made. He has said it years ago. I don't know. It's Manfred and it's baseball. And like NASCAR, they seem to botch these situations. Next, Morning Shift, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
On my podcast, A Spy with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow A Spy with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.